We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day, plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
Hi, I'm Kurt Angle.
I represented the United States in the Olympics in 1996 and won a gold medal. Then I parlayed that into a pro wrestling career. I saw a commercial a few years ago.
Tunnel to Towers Foundation made a promise.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is paying off the mortgages for Gold Star families with young children. I thought, this is really cool. I want to be a part of it. My dad served in the Army for 30 years. We didn't have a lot of money, but he made sure we had what we needed. He set a great example for all of us. But he died in a construction accident my freshman year in high school. When he died, we didn't have any income coming in, and we ended up being forced to move out of our house. I was devastated. So I understand what these families are going through, and to have an organization like Tunnel to Towers come in and pick you up and carry you and give you a home to live in, I think that's just amazing. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to t2t.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at our studio station, Sports Talk 1400 AM as well, and all of our websites. We welcome you to the show this morning. And, of course, we're here at the South Point Studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard. And, of course, at YouTube on the South Point Studio Streaming Network, we welcome you, as well as all of you running around town early this morning. It is a work day. Some people do work today, come to think of it. And so our anchor radio station here in town, Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM, if you want to listen to us through there. And, of course, websites, we got them covered too, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world.global. And, of course, we stream on there. We also archive our shows on our websites as well. And, of course, we take care of your devices, your Google phone, your iPhone, your Androids. We've got them all covered with the apps. Just go to your app store and you can get either KSHP app to listen to us and the YouTube app to see and listen to us as well. And, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting. We welcome you to the show, especially those folks, I guess, are watching us on Spotify. So that's a good deal there. Anyhow, However, wherever, whenever, welcome to the show. It's already the second day of this brand new year of 2025. We move ahead through the first weekend of 2025. Got to tell you that beginning the holiday, starting yesterday and moving through this weekend, it's not like a barn-burning, you know, type of racing schedule going on, because there's not a lot of big races coming up. Big races, I mean, big racing days coming up this weekend. But it is racing, and, you know, we're always looking for winners every day. It was a little surprising to me that on yesterday, January 1st, which is a holiday, you know, January 1st, first of the year, New Year's, that we didn't have stakes races at either Aqueduct or Santa Anita. That perplexed me a little, but in the old days, that was a big day when we went out to the races on New Year's Day. But we trek along. Today, there won't be any racing at Santa Anita. They have taken the day off. They'll resume tomorrow. And, of course, Aqueduct, we'll get Aqueduct today. But the big weather going on right now, is affecting a lot of some of the racetracks that were on the schedule. First of all, that winter storm, that crazy winter storm that's going through the Northeast, has made its way now through the Midwest, that did a lot of damage yesterday, and now it's making its way through the Northeast. And the Arctic cold that is coming along with it, where you might have some rain or snow that could turn to ice. It's just very tricky out there right now as far as the winter. It's winter, so it's the winter weather there in the Northeast. As far as the West Coast, just in the Great Northwest, Washington and Oregon getting a usual front with rain there. And there's some snow going on in Iowa. But outside of that, it's centered at the Great Lakes area and up through the Northeast right now. However, yesterday, Mahoning Valley Racecourse canceled because of the terrible weather it had there. Parks Racing started their racing, but they had to cancel the last five races yesterday at Parks because the track conditions got unbearable because of the weather. And Penn National, that started later, canceled their racing as well yesterday. Now, for today, Mahoning Valley Racecourse is canceled again today. Now, they won't schedule racing. They're not scheduled to go after today until Monday anyhow. So they're not going to have any racing today at Mahoning Valley. None today, none yesterday. So they are canceled today. Penn National is still scheduled to go. And remember, they have a late post time, so they might cancel a little bit later on. But right now, they're scheduled to go after canceling yesterday. And Parks Racing is not racing today. And they won't be back on board until Monday anyway. They're scheduled to be off today. So Parks and Mahoning will return on Monday. And Penn National is still scheduled to go later on today. But Penn National, Mahoning, and the last five races at Parks were all canceled yesterday. So that's the latest with the news and the cancellations on the racetracks racing for today. Now, John Lindo is in transit right now, so he will not be with us on the show today, but he'll be here in studio with us tomorrow. So we have Jonathan Ardoon, Rich Eng, and, of course, Jerry Jackowitz with us. There were a lot of people that were asking about the eclipse voting that I had, so maybe I'll go over with that with Jonathan Ardoon. And they were also saying, why doesn't, like, Jonathan Ardoon or John Lindo or Richie vote for the Eclipse Awards? I don't know why they don't. They should. There's no question about it. I would vote for them to vote if I could. But there's three bodies of voters. They're the Daily Racing Forum people in the National Thoroughbred Racing Association, and the National Thoroughbred Writers and Broadcasters Association, and that's the one that I am a member of. And so that's why I kind of skated in the back door and got the Eclipse ballot. But I've been voting Eclipse for over 20, 25 years now. But that is the reason why. Believe me, I think that guys like Jonathan and Richie and guys like John Lindo, who apply what is really the backbone of this game anyhow, and that is applying the opportunity for the end user, the customers, to have a more educated way to bet and win at the races. That, you know, that's the one that's the motor that drives the entire machine. That day in and day out, they have a good handle on what the good horses are and which aren't, and they should be able to vote too. So that's why I'm answering the question. They don't vote, but they should. No question about it. All right. The invitation list for the Pegasus World Cup had been announced. Now, that invitation list, Pegasus World Cup is on the 25th of this month. It'll be 3 weeks from Saturday. Okay, the Pegasus World Cup. And you have to be invited to that thing. And so here's how the invitation list went. Mystic Dan, Derby winner last year, Mystic Dan has been invited, and so has the 2023 Breeders' Cup Classic winner, White Barrio. So those two are in. Now, their trainers, Kenny McPeak and Safi Joseph Jr., also have two others that have been invited, okay? Mystic Dan's stablemate, McPeak's stablemate, Rattle and Roll, has been invited as well. And as far as Safi Joseph Jr. has White Barrio, his Skippy Longstocking has also been on the invitation list. Now, last year's Pegasus runner-up, Senor Buscador, is also on the invitation list and expected. This is expected to be his final start of his career. And the other invitees in this the Pegasus World Cup, the other 12 invitees include Saudi Crown, Stronghold, Croupy, Locked, Imagination, Mixto, and JB Strikes Back. Those are the 12 invited. The eight alternates that will get in if any one of those invitees drop out include Newgrange, Red Route 1, Power Squeeze, Rocket Can, Skinner, Steel Sunshine, Tumbarumba, and Coke Creek. Okay? So those are the ones that are on the alternate list for the Pegasus World Cup coming up 3 weeks from Saturday. And so we'll wait and see who actually shakes in and goes and who doesn't. Strange that Fierceness wasn't at least invited, although I guess as Mr. Rapoli mapped out the other day for the plans for Fierceness, his first start, his expected first target of the year this year is going to be the Met Mile, and that's on June 7th at Saratoga, followed by the Whitney, also at Saratoga, on the 25th, and the Breeders' Cup Classic, of course, is his end race as far as the key race for Fierceness will be the Breeders' Cup Classic at Del Mar on the 1st of November. So we got that going for us. And now as far as the weekend racing is concerned, as I say, a little bit light. On Saturday, Aqueduct will have a stakes race, and Turfway Park will. Gulfstream Park's going to come up with two stakes races. Oaklawn Park will have two. Santa Anita's going to have the only graded stakes races on Saturday, the Grade 2 San Vicente and the Grade 3 Las Flores. And on Sunday, only one stakes race, and that'll be at Santa Anita. But we do have the entries for the Jerome, the San Vicente, the Los Feliz, and the Smarty Jones have already been drawn. So maybe we'll go over quickly over that field, those fields there with Jonathan when we get started with our handicappers. Okay? And as far as that's about all I can say is the weather here in Las Vegas is 40 degrees right now outside. So it's still rather cold. I mean, walking through that parking lot, it'll wake you up. And we're going to get a high of 63 degrees. So it's going to 40 degrees right now. We're going to get up to 63. And that's going to be the way the parameters for our weather is, temperature-wise, from now and through the weekend. And as I say, as far as the weather across the country, we've already talked about the bad weather up in the Northeast. As far as temperatures around the country are concerned, well, New York, they're going to top out at 47 degrees, they say, today, although where Jonathan is at, he's a lot colder. In fact, he's shaking his head right now. We'll wait and see. We'll get his temperature in a minute. That's for sure. Miami, 73 degrees, so we can keep, I take that back. That's Tampa Bay. Miami's 80 degrees today. It's going to be 80 degrees today in Miami. Oh, well. Chicago, 31. We got here in Las Vegas, as I say, we'll get up to 73. Phoenix, 72. L.A., 69, although there's no racing in L.A. Today, but it's going to be 69 there today. And International Falls, in case you're interested, right at the northern border to Canada, 14 degrees going to be their topper today. So we got a cold front coming in. Hey, it's wintertime. All right, so let's get started. We're going to get started with our first break. And when we come back, we'll have your racing menu for what's left today. And, of course, Jonathan Hardoon. Rich Engel will be along later with the game, the Notre Dame game with Georgia being postponed yesterday at the Sugar Bowl because of that terrible terrorist attack that happened in the French Quarter in New Orleans. They backed that game up to today. That game will play today in the Sugar Bowl at 1 o'clock Pacific time. So we'll get a thought about that from Richie today as well. And, of course, he'll have a pick for us. He scouted the country somewhere and got a pick for us. And Jerry Jackowitz will be along with his Power Page plays for Aqueduct. So without any further ado, on the second day of your brand new year, we're going to go to our first break. Don't go away.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas for this Thursday, January 2nd, 2025. Okay, I will bet at least 50% or more of you watching and listening out there right now, the first check that you make out this year, you're going to put down 2024 by mistake. It happens every year. So remember, it's 2025 in case you're making paying bills today. All right, let's take a look at what happened yesterday. Gulfstream Park. Tyler Gaffleone got a couple of winners. He won the third race at 860 for Antonio Sano, came back in the sixth race for Jose Orsino, and paid 1680. So Gaffleone had a couple of winners there. Trainer George Weaver had a couple of winners. He and Irad Ortiz Jr. teamed together to win the fourth race on the favorite at 360. And then Weaver came back to win one of the two stakes races yesterday, the Cash Run Stakes with John Velasquez aboard 5G, that paid $12.40, outrunning Paradise City and Unchained Elaine, who finished third in that race. The other stakes race of the day, the Dania Beach, was won by Embago with Edwin Gonzalez aboard for Mark Cassie. That horse was the favorite, paid $3.60, outrunning Hammerhead and Maui Strong, who finished third there as well. And so that's kind of what happened yesterday. Irad Ortiz Jr., by the way, not only won the... Irad Ortiz Jr. won that first race for George Weaver, that 360 winner. But he came back and won his second race of the day for Jose D'Angelo at 420. Irad and Tyler Gaffleone both had two wins yesterday at Gulfstream, and trainer George Weaver had a couple. At Aqueduct yesterday, Chris Elliott won the first two races. He won the first race on a 520 winner, and the second race on a $47.40 winner. So talking about contrast there, jockey Chris Elliott there won the first two races, the early double. As far as the other highlights on the day, Kendrick Carmouche won back-to-back races. He won the sixth race on a Jeremiah Engelhart runner, paying $11 even. Came back in the seventh race for John Kimmel and paid $5.90. In a three-way photo finish in this race, Jonathan Hardoon's horse, I thought for sure was going to get the money, his pick in that race. But three horses hit the wire, and his was the third nose on the wire. So blanket finish in that race. And Sophie Vibes wins the last race of the day, Toxic Girl for Jose Jimenez, paying $30.60. You got a carryover in the pick six today at Aqueduct. Nobody had it yesterday. The fives paid $1,007.50, making a small carryover there at Aqueduct for racing today at the Big A. As far as Santa Anita yesterday, kind of a mundane day of racing. A lot of favorites. A couple of $2 and change horses. Those filthy favorites won. Onetta's Hobby won the second and paid $2.80 for John Sadler and Juan Hernandez. And then you had another $2.20 winner. That was in the sixth race, Jubilant Joni, who won easily for Edwin Maldonado and Jeff Mullins to pay $2.20. So there was not big payoffs yesterday at Santa Anita. And as far as anybody getting a couple of wins, Umberto Rispoli won three races in a row. All right. Umberto Rispoli wins the third race for Phil D'Amato at $6.80. The fourth race for R.B. Hess Jr. at $12 even, and came back in the fifth race for his third win in a row for Mike McCarthy, paying $6.40. Jeff Mullins also won the sixth race, as I say, with that big favorite yesterday. So some of the happenings that happened yesterday at Santa Anita. All right, let's get started with the racing menu for today, reminding you again that as far as today's racing is concerned, Mahoning Valley is already canceled. Parks Racing was not scheduled to go today. And Penn National, that canceled yesterday, is still on the docket to go today, but they have a late post time, so they might scratch a little bit later on. So without any further ado, here's the racing menu for today. First post times will be that of the Pacific time zone. You know the deal. We're here in the Pacific time zone, so these will be the first post times rolling out in our race books today here in Las Vegas, in the race book right behind the studio here on the main floor at the South Point. So, first post times Pacific. If you're in any other time zone, adjust and tweak that time zone to the Pacific time zone to get the start times right for wherever you're not, you are. I don't want you to miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad, okay? All right, so Mahoning Valley canceled. We begin then the racing menu with Gulfstream Park. Gulfstream Park has nine races today, and they have a pick six jackpot carryover of $210,599. Not bad. $210,599. In the Rainbow Pick 6 Jackpot Carryover at Gulfstream, you have nine races there and a first post time of 9:20 at Gulfstream. Aqueduct, the Big A in New York. Let's check out the weather real quick there. As they post on their website, says it's sunny, 38 degrees and sunny today. The track is fast. And the carryover in the Pick 6 from yesterday, $18,140.65. 18 grand plus a carryover today in the Pick 6 at Aqueduct. They have eight races today and a first post time of 9:40. Fairgrounds is next. They did race yesterday at Fairgrounds. I know they canceled the, they postponed the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans. But the Fairgrounds ran their races yesterday in New Orleans, and they're doing it again today. First post time is 10:45 for nine races at the Fairgrounds today. Turf Paradise, Phoenix, Arizona. They have eight races. First two will be quarter horses. The last six will be thoroughbreds. And Turf Paradise has a pick six jackpot carryover, $18,970. Their first post time for their eight races, 11:40 there. Delta Downs has eight races. Their first post time is 2:50 at Delta. Turfway Park will get underway with nine races tonight. First post time is 2:55. Remember, they got that all-weather track there at Turfway. They got a couple of carryovers. Their pick six jackpot carryover, $11,479. They've got a regular pick five carryover today at Turfway Park. A regular pick five carryover. It's a goodie, too. $94,897 in a regular pick five carryover today at Turfway. Their first post time for nine races set at 2:55. Then we have Penn National, who's still set to go today after canceling yesterday. Remember, their first post time is 3:15 Pacific time. That's 6:15 in the East Coast where they're at. So they might cancel, but for right now, they're going. And their first post time, 3:15 for their eight races today, Pacific time. Finally, we wrap it up with Charlestown. Charlestown Races has eight races. Their first post time is 4 p.m. They are scheduled to go today as of this moment, so it's a 4 o'clock post time, Pacific time there. That's the menu for today. We now go to Mr. Jonathan Hardoon, who's at least chilly. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, Ralph. It's 30 and dropping quickly. So, 30. Yes, it's going to be 30 and dropping quickly. So it's yes. going to be called an aqueduct as well. You know, Ralph, yesterday they instituted some new rules in their pick five at Gulfstream Park that people should be made aware of. First of all, the early pick five now becomes a mandatory payout. If nobody hits five, they pay the best who had the best of the five. So mandatory payout in all the early pick fives. The late pick five, if nobody has five correct, it carries to the next day. But here's the big switch in their pick five. For years, they've been giving consolations four out of five. For four out of five. They no longer will be giving consolations. So a lot of people are not happy with that because, you know, if you hit it, it adds up. You get a bunch more money. But if you have four out of five, where you used to get a consolation, no longer in effect.
So you get bupkis now, huh?
Bupkis for four out of five. But if you hit five, you get, I guess, some more money. But because that money that they were paying out, whether it was 20% or whatever part of it, now just all goes to the pick five. But it's important people, you know, make bets based on what they think they're getting back.
So. Well, you know, unlike our politics these days, at least there's a little give and take and compromise in that new the new format. First of all, I like the mandatory payoff in the early pick five. Gotta go. Yeah. All right, gotta go. So you have a chance once in a while to get four out of five and still hit it.
Correct.
And as far as the late pick five, I like to carry over into the next day. Now, that late pick five will carry over into the late pick five the next day, not the early one, right?
Correct.
Because if it carried over into the early one and that had to be mandatory payoff, now you're getting something.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You know, if... You know, you get 100,000 carryover and it goes into the first one, and that's a mandatory payoff. You're going to get a lot of people playing that first pick five.
Nevertheless,
maybe they ought to tweak that after listening to the show. But in any case, I love the fact that you did give us those new rules because I did not at the top of the show. I had it marked on my list of things to do and forgot to do it. So
that's what I'm here for.
Early pick five is Mandy, and the late pick five. Will carry over if you don't have five, and no more consolations for anything. Simply put, that's it.
The only place left with consos are Turfway Park and Keeland, I guess. Well, they'll still pay four out of five until they change their rules. But for the time being, they're the only only places that still give four out of five.
Let's hope that they don't take a cue from Gulfstream. All right, coming up this weekend, kind of light on stakes races, but I got to tell you, there's a couple of stakes races for the newly turned three-year-olds this year, and you know, as soon as they turn three-year-old from two, everybody talks about derby from day one. So we got the Jerome going on at Aqueduct. It's a $150,000 race for 1 mile. Now, Aqueduct is a one-turn mile because that track is a mile and one-eighth in circumference, but there's a field of eight in the race. And that not too many horses that come to my mind that did a lot as two-year-olds. You've got Enduring Spirit, and you've got Mansetti, I Can, Omaha, which is the four horse. Georgia Magic is the five. Cyclone State is the six. Studley Do-Right is the seven. And number eight is McAfee. And none of those horses really come as recollection to me as doing anything really that you would remember as two-year-olds.
Well, they're lightly raced horses. Listen, Dutro has a horse in the race, I Can, who only ran three times. He has McPhee, who only ran twice. You have a couple of horses with some experience and good resume. Cyclone State has gotten good. His last two races, both impressive, but they were both bias-aided. Speed was the way to go on both of the days when he won. And then you got Studley Do-Right, who two starts back ran at Aqueduct at a mile, and he ran the best figure of his life, so he returns to that. I think Studley Do-Right's probably the horse to beat, but again, you can make cases for Cyclone State and for the two Dutro horses as well.
The San Vicente in California at Santa Anita is a graded stakes race, is a grade two. It used to be the way the schedule was in Santa Anita, where they progressed the distances on Derby horses throughout the year to get to the Santa Anita Derby at a mile and one-eighth. This used to be the first one at 7 furlongs, the San Vicente, on the road to the Santa Anita Derby. I don't think it holds much of that anymore. But in the case of Southern California and the lack of horses there, the San Vicente on Saturday will have only 5 horses in the race. And again, Bob Baffert, whose 2-year-olds are now 3-year-olds, and we know that he can go back to the Derby this year. He has 2 out of the 5. He's got the 8-to-5 favorite there. Barnes will break from post 2. And he also has a 5-to-1 shot, Romanisk, that'll break from post 3. So the one will be...
And Bullard is the 4-to-5 morning line favorite, the Mike McCarthy horse. By the way, Ralph, Barnes, if you remember, he shipped to Churchill Downs to run, I think, and he even flew out there. This was like a $3 million horse.
Right.
He was a little hyped, you remember? And, well, now he's stretching out to 2 turns. Oh, no, to 7 furlongs. I'm sorry, like you said. I don't know, small field and some short-priced horses in there.
Yeah, now, to finish off the horses in the race, Mackenzie Street for Tim Yachtin will break from post 1. Barnes will break from post 2. Romanesque will break from post 3. Smooth Cruisin' is the 4 horse. For Karen Headley, and the 5, Bullard, who is the 4-to-5 favorite on the morning line, Umberto Rispoli for Mike McCarthy. And I guess it'll come down to Barnes and Bullard in this race. It's only a 7-horse field in the San Vicente. And I think that probably those are the only two that'll move on through the Santa Anita Derby, races.
Well, Romanesque ran once, and he won, and he won pretty easily. He was bet heavily that day, bet down to 2-to-1. Yeah. What does one race mean? We'll find out a lot after tomorrow. Let's see if Romanesque takes that big step forward, and Barnes, let's see how good he really is. Certainly was hyped first time out. He got up. He had a trouble trip that day, and again, Bullard has done nothing wrong, and he's certainly drawn in the right spot. He's drawn well outside, and... I don't know. We got to see the race more closely and get the odds and everything else that goes with it.
Yeah, I got to tell you, though, I can tell you that it's a 5-horse field, but it's going to be an interesting chess game in that race. And we're going to see with the high-priced, royally bred horses and, of course, Baffert, as you say, Romanesque. It comes out of Baffert's barn, so you know this horse will probably improve. So it's going to be an interesting kind of a chess game in that race. Now, the other race for 3-year-olds this weekend, Oaklawn Park, the Smarty Jones. Now, the Smarty Jones, believe it or not, I don't think it's a graded stakes races, but the Smarty Jones comes up with 8 horses there from the rail. Kale's Angel, Ramon Vasquez for Peter Miller, who has a barn out there. Kale's Angel is 2-to-1 on the morning line. Hot Gunner is the 2-horse. Harry Hernandez for Scott Young. The 3 is Optical. Axel Concepcion for Keith DeSormo. The 4 is Bon Temp. Martin Garcia's for the coach, Dwayne Lucas. The 5 is Mo Quality, Junior Alvarado for Christopher Davis. The 6 is Hot Property, Flavian Prax for Flavian Pratt riding there, which is 8-to-5 on the morning line, and is actually the favorite in the race over Hale's Angel. So Hot Property, Pratt for Brad Cox, your man. The 7 is Curvino, Francisco Arrieta for Peter Miller. So Miller has 2 horses in the race. And the 8 is Cole Battle, Juan Vargas for Lonnie Brilli at 9-to-2. So that looks like a competitive race.
It's a terrific race, Ralph. The rail horse tried dirt last time for the first time, Kale's Angel for Peter Miller. First 4 starts of his career were all on the turf. Well, they decided to run him on the dirt. They knew to bet him down to 3-to-1, and he won about as impressively as you can. Question is he going to be able to stretch out to a mile and a 16th? The Brad Cox horse, Hot Property, ran extremely well first time out when winning at fairgrounds. Not an easy thing to do when first out going 2 turns, so it's Cox, anything possible with him. Mm-hmm. But there's an interesting long-priced horse in that race that I would take a long look at. It's the number 3, Optical, 12-to-1 on the morning line. This horse has been running distance races. Not everyone in this race could say that. This horse is listed at 12-to-1. Keith DeSormo is the trainer. Alex Concepcion is the rider. And at 12-to-1, that may be the right way to go. By the way, Ralph, there are Kentucky Derby points for the winner I guess the first three finishes in this Smarty Jones race.
All right, there you go. And, of course, the Smarty Jones is part of the series that leads to the Arkansas Derby as well. And so we do have at least the three-year-olds that are going to hold up the interest for the big stakes races over the weekend. Of course, the Las Flores is for the fillies. We'll get to that tomorrow. In the meantime, there were a lot of people that were chatting away that said that you guys should be Eclipse Award voters as well, and I agree. That's not the case. I don't know why, but
it's a good old boys club. They don't let everyone in, Ralph.
Yeah, well, how the heck did I sneak in? What did I sneak in the back door here? I climbed through the men's room window, I guess, to get in this thing.
But they let you in.
Yeah, in any case, you know, we already went through who I voted for Horse of the Year. It was really a toss-up between Fierceness, Torpedo Anna, and Sierra Leone. But I gave it to Sierra Leone because he won on the big day, the Breeders' Cup, which they say is the day that crowns the champions. So that's that there. But older dirt female, I voted for Idiomatic. Now, remember, people were saying, why didn't you vote for Torpedo Anna? Was a three-year-old. She was not an older female dirt horses. I voted for her as the three-year-old filly. But a lot of people were asking me that, and that's the reason. She wasn't in that category.
Well, you made the right choice there. That horse, I mean, that's a Brad Cox. That horse is unbelievable, that mare. She, you know, she really had a terrific campaign, and she deserves it. I agree with that so much.
I put Adair Manor in second because she only had really stubbed her toe once in the race. And a male sprinter, that would be interesting. Who would you think would be the male sprinter? Who would you vote for?
Either Cogburn, who did it mostly on the turf, or the Dan Black horse, Straight No Chaser. Is that the horse's name?
That's the horse's name. Straight No Chaser is the horse's name. Won the Breeders' Cup Sprint, and I voted for him. I voted for Straight No Chaser. My second, and by the way, the horse that I voted, because you got to vote for three horses in each category. My second horse was the Chosen Vron. And the only reason why I didn't put Cogburn higher is because I put Cogburn in third. But he did all the stuff on the grass, you know, was the grass.
Yeah. Mulligan also had a good campaign, if you recall that horse.
Yeah. Yeah, he did, too. There were a lot of ways of going in that. Male turf horse. You can start scratching your head on this one now.
I would pick Joannis, the horse that keeps winning in California. I mean, yeah, what do you win, 5, 6, 7 in a row? But that would be Joannis would be my top selection.
Yeah, I voted Joannis second because he was doing it all at the middle distances. The horse that I voted for the marathon distance was Rebel's Romance. So
okay.
Female turf horse. There's one for you.
That's easy. Mariah, the Canadian horse. That horse was real good.
You know
Kevin
Attard's
a trainer.
Voted for?
No.
Mariah. That was a natural. That was a natural one. Of course, now voting for the jockey. I know that it's got to be Flavien Prett. There's no way.
If this is an anonymous decision, then there really should be an investigation into all of you guys in the good old boys club to what's going on, because this was a no-brainer.
Yeah, Flavien Prett really deserved it. And I hope you're right. I hope he gets unanimous because that will really mean something. Irad, of course, I put in the second spot. And I also gave a nod to Tyler Gaffleon. I thought he had a great year.
Yeah, Brian Hernandez won the Derby and the Oaks, so you may have considered putting him somewhere in the top three. That's not an easy feat, and he pulled it off this year, so he deserves some sort of mention.
Yeah, he was the passenger. McPeak is the one that pulled it off.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, Mystic Dan won by a lip, obviously he had to do with that.
Hernandez had a lot to do with that, right? I think Sierra Leone had more to do with Mystic Dan than Brian Hernandez did. Trust me.
Or Ferret Young. Correct.
Trainer, I went for Brad Cox. I put Brad Cox on top. I know that I'm going to get a little feedback on that. Chad Brown and Steve Asmussen rounded it out. And as far as the apprentice jockey, I had to give it to Steve's son, Eric. Eric Asmussen, this kid's doing a great job. I don't know how long he'll last with his, you know, he's a big...
Him and his brother will be starting on a basketball team shortly. They're both growing. Keith and Eric are both growing quickly.
Yeah, or there'll be the Asmussen three-horse entry of Eric, his brother, and Steve one day as trainers, you know.
Right.
But anyhow, those are some of the votes that I had. And like I said, there were some in the categories that could have really went a lot of different ways. For example, two-year-old male, I just voted for Citizen Bull because he won on the big day. He won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. But there's a lot of horses in there. And there's a lot of promising horses that came along late that will probably be better than this horse early this year. But this is the vote for 2024, so that's what I did there. All right, we're going to wrap
it up. Good job, Ralph. Good job.
We're going to wrap it up there. And my vote, ladies and gentlemen out there, one more time, if I had the power to do it, all the handicappers, not only the ones on our show, but all the ones that are public handicappers out there deserve a vote because they do this day in and day out. Thanks a lot, Jonathan. You got a sheet today for Aqueduct and where else?
And Gulfstream, the only two tracks that are running that I do. Anyway, right. So let's give it a couple of winners and get a first winner of this year,
yes.
2025. Aqueduct, eighth race today. I like the number 8 horse in here, Mr. Swagger. This is a 5-year-old who was claimed 2 starts back by trainer Wayne Potts. First start for Potts, he ran lights out. Yeah. He draws a good outside box going a flat mile, 7-2 on the morning line. Jose Lascano takes the mount. I like number 8, Mr. Swagger, to win today's 8th race at Aqueduct.
All right, you're going to do a little swaggering with this win. And the 8th and final race at Aqueduct, number 8. Easy to remember, the 8 and the 8th at Aqueduct. Jonathan Ardoon's play there. We'll get his pick at Gulfstream, and then we'll let him go to breakfast.
6th race today, 1.70 on Tapita. Number 2, China Blue, ran real well last time out when breaking her maiden. She's been freshened up, returns as a 3-year-old, gets LASIKs today for the first time. She's listed at 6-1 on the morning line. I like number 2, China Blue, to win today's 6th race out at Gulfstream.
All right, let's not be blue. Let's get China Blue home a winner. And in the 6th race, the 2, China Blue is your pick there. Again, sheets for full sheets for Gulfstream and Aqueduct today at your website, right?
JONHARDOON.com. Thank you, Ralph. Stay safe. Be well. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, and put another log on the fire.
Yes, sir.
All right, you got it. All right, we'll be right back with Rich Eng. Don't go away.
No service member who has put on a uniform and served our nation should be without a home and the services they need. I'm Dave Portnoy, and I'm asking for your help. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation promises to eradicate veteran homelessness across the country so that no service member who has served our nation will be without a home and the services they need. That's why I'm asking you to contribute $11 a month to support these efforts by going to t2t.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
Here we are in Houston, opening up our first veteran village. This beautiful building that's going to house 161 homeless veterans. Any veteran that risked their lives and they're struggling with PTSD, mental illness, addiction. We're also building what I call comfort homes, 500 square foot homes. These are for older homeless veterans, so they have their own space and give them back some of their dignity, some of their independence, and most certainly give them back their life. Go to t2t.org to learn how you can change a veteran's life forever.
If you're celebrating a special occasion or just love fine dining, you're in the right place. Come experience the crown jewel of South Point restaurants, Michael's Gourmet Room.
Welcome.
With over 600 different types of wines and magnificent dishes prepared tableside, you'll revel in the rich classic Vegas decor and the best black tie service in the world. This intimate gourmet room has earned accolades galore. Come to Michael's Gourmet Room for an unforgettable dining experience. Another famous restaurant is the Silverado Steakhouse, where you'll find the charm and service that discerning patrons require. From top quality steaks and chops to fresh seafood and desserts, you'll love the award-winning wine list and menu at Silverado Steakhouse. Steak lovers have even more options with primarily prime rib. Catering to hearty appetites, the menu features a variety of flavorful prime rib cuts, dry aged to ensure tenderness, and then seasoned and slowly roasted. Although prime rib is our specialty, it's not the only thing on the menu. There's something for everyone.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas for this Thursday. Now we go out to Rich Eng standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
Well, Richie, all I can say is Arizona proved to be a very stiff competitor for Texas yesterday, but they canceled the Sugar Bowl as really I expected that to happen after what happened earlier in the day in the French Quarter. But they raced at Fairgrounds, though, yesterday. But they are they rescheduled that game for today. It'll be 1 o'clock Pacific time. Notre Dame takes on Georgia. How do you see that game?
Well, you know, the last couple of weeks since they announced the 12-team playoff, I did tell your folks out there that the one bet I made to win the championship was on Notre Dame. I bet them at 10-1 to win the national championship. So I'm sticking with them, Ralph. There's no reason for me to get off them. The line opened up Georgia like -2, but now it's a pick'em game that I saw lately. But I'm going to like Notre Dame. I'm going to root for Notre Dame like heck. And if they get past Georgia, a very, very good Georgia team, which is without their quarterback. That's one of the key angles for tonight's game is the Georgia quarterback, Carson Beck, is injured. He also went into the portal. So they're going to play a true freshman making his first start as a in the college football. So that's going to be a interesting thing to keep an eye on is how the Georgia quarterback plays.
Now, Richie, this game was scheduled yesterday, and on the tickets that people purchased for the game, it says January 1st game. Now, I don't know how the books will, you know, react to this, but they say that, you know, that the date of the contest must be put on the ticket. So now it's January 2nd. Do the people who bet that game yesterday that have a ticket that says January 1st, if you know, do they have to redeem that and get another ticket that says January 2nd, or is that still honored?
You know, that's a great question, Ralph. The first thing I would suggest is people should go back to the book that they bought the ticket at and ask the manager, because just to make sure the rules are the same.
Yeah.
But it's a very good point, but I'm almost positive here in Nevada, Ralph, that the game must be played on the date that it's scheduled,
yeah.
And if not, it's a refund, then you have to rebet it. So that's an excellent question, and it rarely ever happens, but I'm pretty sure. Just check with your racebook manager to make sure if your ticket's live or you have to rebet it. If you bet Notre Dame +2 like I did, that would not be good news, because now you got to lose those 2 points and bet Notre Dame at pick. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I've got the 10-1 ticket in my pocket,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So I've got that option. But usually the game has to be played on the date that it's verified on the ticket.
Yeah, on the date of the ticket it has to be played. And that's why I asked you and folks out there if you're – and this now that and if it is that you have to redeem it and play it again, it won't be a specific rule of the particular race book. It'll be a rule of the Nevada Gaming Commission. That's
yes.
That's where these rules come from. And I would advise anybody listening out there outside of Nevada, if you have a ticket that you play in the book anywhere else in the country, you might want to ask that same question. All right. So you've got Notre Dame winning the game at the pick'em price that it was when it closed, right?
Yes, that's what I'll be stuck with. I won't have the +2 because that ticket's going to be a refund.
Okay. Let's get a winner. Let's get a horse winner now.
Yeah, I do have a horse, and I do want to make an announcement for the folks out there. Ralph, I am an Eclipse Award voter.
Yeah.
When I started at the Las Vegas Review-Journal in 1998 to be the horse racing writer and handicapper, I applied for admission to the Turf Writers Association. So I've been a member since 1998. I've been voting since 1998.
As a matter of fact, if you remember, I'm the one that gave the recommendation letter for you.
That is correct.
Yeah.
You need a letter of recommendation. Yeah. You did that for me. And I tell you what, we don't have time, but what I'll do is after the show, I will post my ballot on social media, on Twitter,
okay,
and on Blue Sky, so people who follow me will be able to see it after the show.
Absolutely. And maybe when we have time during a lull a day, maybe next week, maybe a Wednesday or something, when the races are we'll go over the votes for you. But real quick, since you teased everybody out there now, who'd you vote for Horse of the Year?
Horse for the Year, Top Line, Torpedo Anna, Sierra Leone, Fierceness.
Yeah, you know, those three are going to be jockeying, no pun intended, for position for the riders, okay? Yes, but I don't. Do you not believe that all the handicappers should as well be voters?
Well, you know, in reality, yes, because they pay attention to the sport every single day.
Absolutely.
And it's, it's attention to detail that really matters, the little things. Yeah. And some of these categories are pretty close, Rob. Yeah. I mean, really close.
I know.
And you know, some of them are slam dunks. Yeah. A lot of them are not.
All right, give me a pick real quick. I got to get Jerry on.
Race 6 at the Fairgrounds. Fairgrounds Race 6. It's scheduled for 1 mile on the turf. Uh-huh. Let's go with the number 8, Leah Mehta Trainer. 7-2 in the morning line. Brian Hernandez riding for Neil Pessin. This is dirt or turf, Ralph.
Okay.
The number 8, Leah Mehta Trainer.
The 6th race, number 8, Leah Mehta Trainer. The 6th race, number horse 8. That's the 8 in the 6th race. At the Fairgrounds. So you're all down in New Orleans today with all your picks anyhow. Hey, thanks a lot, Rich.
Hey, thanks, Al. Good luck, everybody.
All right, you got it. Now let's go right to Mr. Jerry Jackowitz standing by. Jerry at least has a horse or two for us today at Aqueduct, don't you, Jerry?
I got one.
Okay. And I want to remind everybody there's a pick 6 carryover today at Aqueduct as well.
Yeah, and my feature play comes in the 5th race, so...
Part of the pick 6?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know you're a man of very few words right now, so let's get to it, unless you have something to say.
No, but let's do the 5th race.
Okay.
Let's do it. Click over here. Burn Rubber is the horse, number 7 in the 5th race from Linda Rice. Looks just sort of towers over these to me, and I rated her out quite a bit faster, and I think the form is really excellent on this gelding. This is second, you know, well, it's really fourth race in a cycle, and last time out was tough from the outside, got hung pretty wide, but showed really nice speed. I think today should really complete his race. So I like the 7 at 3-1. I think you're getting the best of it. Maybe down to 8-5 I would go. Take the 7 over the 156, reverse 156 over the 7. But the 7, Burn Rubber. Yeah, let her burn some rubber in the 5th.
Okay, you got it. The 5th race, which is the anchor race in the early pick 4 and early pick 5, and is part of the pick 6 with the carryover there today in the pick 6. In that 5th race, you like number 7, Burn Rubber. The 7, Burn Rubber. Linda Rice. I know that Linda Rice, I guess her number one go-to person is Jose Lascano, but Kendrick Carmouche rides a lot for her too, doesn't he?
Some, but, you know, I can't let that kind of change my play. My play is horses that are in form or going into form. And,
sure. Well, Carmouche, I think, is a very capable rider there. There's no question about that. I don't mind betting him at all. So he is on Linda Rice's horse, and your pick in the 5th race, the 7, Burn Rubber. And your link-ups are 1, 5, and 6. Now, there's a 1 and 1A. Should the 1A, either one of them scratch, is still...
Either
one of the ones. Okay. So the 7 over the 1s, 5 and 6. The only scratch in that race,
correct,
to this time at Aqueduct, is the 3 horse, Sicilian Air.
Right.
The 3 is out, but all of your horses are running. Okay.
And in answer to your question about Horse of the Year.
Yes, sir.
It's either got to be Fierceness or Torpedo Anna to me, one of those two.
And you don't give any weight whatsoever to the Breeders' Cup Classic, or do you?
I do, but I mean, Fierceness ran a great second. I mean, sometimes the horse that runs second is the best horse in the race. And to me, he clearly was the best horse in that race, having endured really hard fractions and...
Well, you know, all I can say...
The best horse doesn't always win. The best horse or the best raced horse of that race doesn't always win.
I fully understand that, and I can honestly say that when it comes to Horse of the Year voting, those three horses will be shuffled around on a lot of the ballots. But we all know one thing for sure. There's not going to be a fourth horse jumping in there. It's going to be one of those three. And it's all a matter of opinion, but they all did great work last year, that's for sure.
Sure.
All right, we wrap up the Race Day Las Vegas show on this almost Friday, Thursday, and when we come back, it will be Friday. And in the meantime, Jerry's got just one more thing to say, and Jerry's going to say it.
It's Ralph Sirocco at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas,
online
at KSHP.gov.